Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you're not wieldy with a wrench or savvy with a plumber's snake, certain home maintenance projects can be impossible to do without the help of a specialized trade person like a master plumber. It's easy to get in over your head, but don't worry. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin join us today. They're field managers for Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. They specialize in everything from drain lines to well pumps and are here to answer your questions. So if you're stuck, backed up, or confused over a home maintenance or plumbing issue, go, give us a call right now, by all means. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ian and Robert, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
I will turn your mics on in a moment. Then everyone will hear you. I can hear you just fine. Ah, there they are. Thank you, Zach. Hey, guys. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having us, Ray.
Now, if you hear a swirling sort of watery sound, that's my career going down the drain. And you may hear that from time to time during the program. Hey, you know, last couple nights have been very cold. And Mr. Paranoid here is deadly concerned about the pipes freezing. You know why? Because I don't have the money to pay a plumber at the moment. So, is it a myth, or should you, when the temperatures hit below zero or whatever, leave a little trickle of water running?
Definitely a good idea.
Yeah?
Doesn't hurt.
I mean, how much, though?
Running water is less likely to freeze. I would love to say that it will never freeze, but it's less likely to freeze than water standing still.
Yeah.
I usually say leave it a little more than a drip.
A little more than a drip.
Not too much, not enough to really do anything. I usually recommend running a little bit hot, a little cold.
Oh, really? Both?
Both.
So the freezing takes place as it's coming into the house?
The freezing usually takes place anytime you have a sustained cold. So whether that be you have a draft.
The pipe coming into the house, is that where it's likely to freeze?
It's possible, but unlikely. Generally, that's very deep, usually 4 or 5 feet deep below the frost level, so that's not usually where it freezes. A lot of time, you're going to get it on a pipe running up an outside wall. If you have a mobile home, there's no insulation.
Yeah.
You have a draft in the basement, you get a breeze on there. That breeze lasts for a couple days. You have a frozen pipe.
The breeze is the big thing, right? So anytime you have an open window, you have a hole in a wall, you have a basement that's not sealed properly, you know, anytime you get that breeze across with that cold air, it'll freeze those pipes.
Well, we made it through another cold snap, and it looks like it's warming up a little bit. Here are a couple, before we get to the phones, at 800-348-2551, here are a couple that came in before the show via email. And here we go. This one is from Chris in Cornwall on Hudson. We're on well water, and we've always used a small Culligan household water filter. Our well pump failed, and after replacing it, our water is so dirty that we have to replace the filters every 6 to 8 weeks. It used to be every 6 months or so. The new pump was placed several feet higher than the old one had been. We've been told that our dirty water is just the result of drought, even though we've had it through several seasons. If, in fact, it is caused by drought, could the higher placement be worsening the problem? Any recommendations for a fix? Thanks a lot. And that's from Chris in Cornwall on Hudson.
So thanks for the question, Chris. So raising the pump cannot hurt your situation.
Okay.
That's actually a less expensive try to fix. So
yeah.
Usually that happens. Droughts can cause different veins to open and close. So when you have your well that's drilled into the ground, if somebody builds a new development down the road, they may be tapping into the same vein that you're using, or if we have a lot of snow or a lot of rain, or if we have a drought. So wells are constantly changing, and the water coming into the well changes. So raising the pump is usually a sign that we're getting too much dirt into the well casing. So usually what that means is you have a cracked well casing.
Ah.
So the dirt and the sediment is actually getting in somewhere through the casing and then just going to the bottom. So what your plumber decided to do was, rather than tell you to drill a new well or to hydrofrack or reseal, which are all very expensive things to do, you raise it 4 or 5 feet and keep it within what's called the static line, where the water table is, and hopefully, you know, get you out of the dirt. So it's not a bad thing, and it didn't make it worse.
Okay. Well, I mean, fixing a well casing can't be a cheap problem.
Not at all.
Okay, well, good luck, Chris Cornwall on Hudson. Here's one from Mary, who says, the pressure relief valve in the water line of my old oil burner, which is also my water heater, is dripping. Can I just buy a new one, turn off the water, and replace the valve, or must I have it done professionally? Gee, I wonder what the answer to this one's going to be. Also, is there a compound that can seal holes in my faucet that is being corroded by my well water? If so, what's it called?
You absolutely need to have that boiler repair done by a professional.
I knew it!
I cannot possibly stress enough how important it is.
Right.
Draining down a boiler system, a lot can go wrong. If you have that point where you have something that needs to be replaced, you need someone who can be prepared to take care of any additional things that are going to happen.
Okay.
If you take that apart, you know, you could get a crack somewhere further down. And something else could break.
There's a good chance that you may not even have to replace that relief valve. If the relief valve is spitting out water or dripping occasionally, it could be a sign of a different problem. You could have too much pressure in the line. If that relief valve is also on her water heater, like she said, that could be the domestic water coming in and you could be getting too much pressure. So it's actually a safety device and okay. It's probably just doing its job.
All right.
And then as far as putting something on your faucets to try to seal up the holes is probably not a good idea. What you want to do is you want to treat the water. So I know that's a big thing we end up talking about every time we come in here is water treatment. So it sounds like you have acidic water, and you can probably treat that with an acid neutralizer. But without testing your water and getting a sample, I can't tell you exactly, but that's usually what it is.
All right, let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin here. From Mr. Reuter Plumbing and Lorraine in Kingston. Lorraine, you're first.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As you said, I'm from Kingston, and we live in an old Victorian neighborhood over 100 years old.
Hey, Lorraine, are you on speakerphone by any chance?
I just punched it to get rid of it, but it didn't go.
Sounds much better. Go ahead.
Okay, so I live in an old neighborhood. Houses are over 100 years old here, and three of my neighbors recently had... their pipes that run alongside under the ground next to the houses not burst, but disintegrate, I should say. And I'm wondering, first of all, whether the wastewater and stormwater pipes are separate, generally speaking, that run underground from these old houses. Because the reason I asked that is one of my neighbors told me that her pipe, which was leaking into the basement before she realized what was going on, had no sewage in it, just water. So I was wondering, are there separate ones under the ground for both that you're aware of in terms of old neighborhoods?
So the short answer is yes, you can have anything there. We never know until we dig it up or we put a camera in it. But generally speaking, the sewer water and the storm drains. So the sanitary drains and storm drains are supposed to be separate by code, but usually in older houses, that's where we find them combined. But again, if it's leaking in through the wall, it's that whatever's leaking out through that pipe is actually getting filtered through the dirt and then making it through your wall. So if it's a crack in your wall, you're probably not going to know if it's sewage water or storm drain water, unfortunately. So there's really not a way to tell that without somebody would have to go in and either put a camera in the drain or look at the piping. And sometimes by looking at it, we can tell, but sometimes we have to put a camera in there. It's hard to tell. And yes, old cast iron pipes or old clay pipes or old asbestos pipes, old cement pipes, they all do corrode and wear away. So it's a very common problem in older houses.
Is it more common in your experience to have that cast iron would last a little longer than clay, or that clay is generally older? Because some of the houses here are very old, like 150 years old, and some are more like 100 years old, and we have cast iron rather than clay. So I was just wondering.
In my experience, cast iron usually lasts a little longer than clay because clay, the fittings, you get disjointed fittings as opposed to it rotting away, and then it cracks and breaks. Usually it's tree roots. Tree roots will get in there, and then they grow and they expand and they crack the pipe. So clay is worse for that, but both will degrade over time.
Okay. Lorraine, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye. Caroline in Poughkeepsie. Caroline.
Hi.
Hi.
Have a situation where the toilet seal seems to not be working properly anymore, and I was told to just tighten up the bolts, and I said, how about a shim? But as I look at the tile work, it's those tiny tiles, those little three-quarter inch or so tiles that make up the floor, and it's not even.
When you have a leak in a toilet seal like that, the only real way to fix it is to pull the toilet up off the floor, replace the seal. Sometimes it could be that the seal's okay. It could be that the flange is no longer bolted to the floor and the toilet's a little bit loose. You get a little bit of water soaking in there. It could be warped. Could need to be the flange is broken. It needs to be replaced. But there's really no way to tell until you pull it. What happens is if you just try tightening the bolts, there's a possibility that you're going to cause damage to what's under the toilet.
Or crack the toilet itself.
Yeah, and that's always fun.
Okay, well, just so you know, when you sit on a toilet, it rocks a little bit, so I sit very gently, and I put a little shim in the back so it wouldn't do that. But apparently it was leaking into the basement, and after things got tightened up a little, it was better. But it started again.
Yeah,
my feeling was it might have something to do with the fact that the floor is not even.
Well, the only way, and it could very well be, but part of that is if the toilet's not sitting
flush.
Right. So whoever installed it would have shimmed it or should have shimmed it to begin with. But as Bobby said, it could be a problem with the flange as well. So the way a toilet sits on, there's bolts that stick out of what's called a flange, and then you tighten the toilet down with that.
Yep,
and so if the flange is loose or the flange isn't seated properly or the flange is broken, then that will cause your toilet to rock.
And what part is the flange exactly?
The flange is a piece that is supposed to sit on top of the finished floor. It's just a circle, and it's got some holes in it. That some of the holes are for mounting screws, so you put the screws in there to the floor, and then it's got some other holes in it where you slide what's called your Johnny bolts, and those are the bolts that you're talking about tightening. Those are the bolts that stick up through the toilet, and that's what a flange is.
Caroline, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to take a break here. We're talking plumbing today on Vox Pop. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin are here. 1-800-348-2551, the number. We'll be back.
Support for WMC comes from the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting interactive exhibits, programs on ecology, natural and cultural history of the pine bush, along with 20 miles of ski and snowshoe trails, albanypinebush.org. Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, hosting an open house January 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., all locations open for tours, waldorfsaratoga.org for details. Careers in Transition LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. And Edgar Bosick, certified financial planner, private financial design, South Hadley, your life, your plan, your portfolio. privatefinancialdesign.com, securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Plumbing today with yours truly, Ray Graff, but I'm not a plumber. I want to be clear about that. We have plumbers in the studio who are plumbers. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin are here from Mr. Ruder Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. I'll just, I'll answer the phones. They'll answer the questions. Let's go to Wendy in Brimsfield, Mass. Wendy, you're on.
Hi. We have a well, and it's the kind of well that you drop your bucket in, you fill your bucket up, and you get your water that way. We also bought a spike that you can stick into. Well, I've seen them in barns where you lift up the lever and the water comes out. Can that spike somehow be integrated in with the well if it's like a lower and fed by like water gravity?
If you have a lot of gravity, generally no, you need a pump on those things.
So just buy a regular well pump, hook it up, and let it pump into the spike itself.
That would be the way to do it. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And okay. Thank you so much.
Sorry.
Thanks, Wendy. We appreciate the call. Toby in Cornwall. Toby.
Hi. I've got system in my house. My house was built in 1988 with new copper tubing throughout, and for about the past, 10, 15 years, every month or two, I get a surging in the pipes. I think it's probably the hot water pipes, and the only way I can seem to get rid of it is if I shut the water off coming out of the pressure tank and then open up all the faucets and everything in the house, drain like everything out, and then refill it with water, and then it's okay for like a month or so or two. But then it, I was just wondering.
So,
do you have any?
I'm sorry, ideas? Toby. What kind of surge are you getting? Is it an air surge? Is that what you're talking about?
It sounds like that. It's kind of a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Like it's
okay.
Pressure from hot water or something.
So is it a submersible pump? Is it in a hole outside? Okay, so
no, it's a well 440 feet deep.
Right, but the pump is actually in the well. The pump's not in your house, right?
No.
So that's what we call a submersible pump. So that's at the bottom of the well, and then there's a pipe that comes up, and then it makes a 90 into what we call a pitless adapter, and then there's another pipe that goes from there into your house. So generally, if you're getting air in that line, it's usually building up from either the pitless adapter, that seal isn't sealed properly and you're getting some air in there, or you have a small break in the line or a small pinhole leak, and as your pump's not running, water's draining out of there, some air is getting in, and then when the pump kicks back on, it pushes some air into your tank, and then that eventually makes it out to your faucets. So that sounds like what it is.
Oh, okay, because I just had the pump replaced a couple of years ago.
But it wouldn't be the pump, though, right?
No, no, no. It's not the pump. It's either the piping from the pump up to the top of the well casing, the 4 feet down or 3 feet down, wherever they put the pitless, or could be that pitless adapter itself, or it could be the pipe between your well casing and your house.
I see. Oh, okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
It sounds like I'd have to dig that pipe up, though, doesn't it?
The first thing I would check is the pitless adapter. So you would have a plumber come over and take the casing off of the top of the well, and then you would cycle the pump while they're standing there and looking at it, and you would either see water coming out or hear air or water.
Okay. Well,
that's where I would start.
Thank you very much for your help.
No problem. Thank you for the call.
Toby, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. Jack in Olive Bridge. Hello, Jack. You're on.
Hi. We live in a rural area, and we have a septic tank and drain field. My question is, why does the septic tank need to be pumped periodically?
So, a couple of reasons. I've seen tanks that have not been pumped in 30 years that are fine, and I've seen tanks that need to be pumped every couple of years. So what happens is, there's a pipe that enters your septic tank from the house, and then there's a pipe on the other side of the tank, usually, that's a little bit lower. And that water goes out into the fields, and that's what's called your gray water. So what's happening is all of your solids and all of your grease, and not necessarily food grease, but all your soaps and detergents turn into grease. That's all leaving your house, going into the septic tank. The grease rises to the top, and all the solids go to the bottom. And then you have some sort of baffle. So you either have a cement wall on either end of this right before the pipes, or you have a T on the piping system, and this is called a baffle, and it's to keep the grease and the solids from getting out into your fields. So the reason that you have your tank pumped is to remove that top layer of grease and all the solids on the bottom.
But I thought the bacteria were supposed to take care of that.
There is bacteria, but now you have to use bacteria additives, because everything that we use in our house now is antibacterial, Jack. So we have antibacterial soaps and detergents and shampoos and all that stuff. So you're actually not only killing the bad bacteria, but you're killing the good bacteria that you need. So there are additives that you can buy and you can add to that that will eat away the grease.
Which I've done periodically, but this still seems to happen. So I guess I'm putting tough stuff down there.
Well,
I guess that's
usually whatever you use, as long as you're using a good product, it will eat the grease away. But it doesn't. It kind of helps with the solids. But you still should have. And here's my opinion on it. You're going to spend, depending on the size of the house, you're going to spend $300 or $400 to get the tank pumped every 3 years. That $100 a year or so is well worth saving the money, that you would have to spend to replace your fields.
You're right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. We're joined by Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. And over to line one, and Ron in Poughkeepsie. Ron, you're on.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Ron.
Okay, so here's my problem. I have an old house with a steam boiler, and plumber came and he put this vent on one of my radiators that broke. The steam vent broke, and within a short time, it split that steam vent device, and steam went all over in the room. Everything got wet, actually, from the steam. And then he went and he put another one on, so I don't feel very secure. I went to the hardware store, and I got a different kind called a Mato Mist, but when I open up the directions, it says it's for hot water. Is that not appropriate then? It's an auto vent, automatic air eliminator for hot water system.
That is not correct. So there are different steam automatic air vents for ones that use water that circulate. So you would have your baseboards and your radiators, and then you need actual steam vents for your radiators that use steam. Two different kinds of heating systems, so two different valves.
Okay, now some are adjustable and some aren't. Should you get one that's adjustable, or should I just replace it with the same kind?
If you had that for years, I just replace it with the same kind. It really doesn't matter, honestly.
No, I only had it a couple of months. Yeah, and then he went and he went back to the store and they gave him the same kind. And when I went to the hardware store, they had the same.
Well,
kind.
It's possible that the plumber that you had out there put the wrong vent on. I don't know who he is and I don't want to know, so don't tell.
No,
okay,
no.
Yeah, don't say the name.
But it's possible that they put the wrong kind of vent on there, so you may want to have somebody else look at it.
Okay, there's a crack right in along the line, going the length of it.
Yeah,
which I suppose
sounds like it's probably not made for the heat of steam. Steam's a lot hotter, so it sounds like it's the wrong vent. So you might want to have somebody else look at it, or ask your supply house to if you want to do it yourself to get the right vent. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Ron, thank you very much. Vic in Albany. Vic, you're next.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a small issue. I have a cast iron pipe that goes into my concrete basement floor, and then it travels across the floor into my house trap. My question is that I want to clean that line out, and I want to replace the top of it because both my washing machine and my kitchen sink dump into the same drain. So I want to replace that with the cast iron, with the galvanized that's sitting on top because all of the cleanouts are, rusted shut, but it's cast that's in the floor. My question is that how do I measure the cast to know what diameter pipe that I have? How would you suggest I clean the drain out with, because it's been running really slow, how would I clean the drain out? And that's about it. That's all I got.
as far as sizing it, it's either inch and a half, 2 inch, 3 inch, or 4 inch. Those would be the sizes for it.
Inside diameter of the pipe.
It's inside diameter.
Inside diameter of the pipe. So if I measure the hub, where the pipe comes up out of the concrete and then flares out a little bit, I measure the inside of that, correct?
Not the hub. You actually measure the pipe underneath it. So you'll see the hub a little bigger. So inside the hub, that's the inside diameter.
And as far as clearing the line, it would need to be staked out. Basically, we would first run a snake through there. Then we use high pressurized water. It's called hydro scrubbing or jetting.
What that does is
going to break up the sediment that builds up in the pipe and gets that all out of there.
All right.
Now, while I'm running the auger down in the pipe, should I be running a little bit of water behind it to flush it as it's cutting, just run it and then flush it?
Well, you can do that either way, but what Bobby was talking about is another machine. It's a hydro scrub machine. It's like a high-pressure water jet. It's a pressure washer that you use for your house, but it's made for the inside of your pipes. They usually have a head on it that spins and cuts and cleans the pipe up nice.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. All right. And then, I'm all set. Pretty cool.
Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. So the pressure treatment or the using the pressure pump would be after you've snaked it with an old-fashioned snake?
I personally just like to put the snake in there just to kind of see what we got.
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, if I feel, you know, kind of feel where the turns are, just kind of get a feel for what's in there, and use the actual jetter to blast through that and clear the line itself. Just helps. I personally like to get a feel for it before I do it, just so I can show people what's going on with their line, so they can see why they need to get the jetting done. Like, a lot of times you get the grease, the buildup, and the snake doesn't do anything. It'll just poke a little hole through it.
Or yeah.
The snake will not do anything except make a little hole. It'll go down a little better, but it won't actually fix the problem.
You know, I saw an ad on TV, one of the cable stations the other night, and it was this newfangled space age little stick that come in packs, and you put it in it goes in the little
in the trap
in the trap and it's supposed to magically enzymes clear out everything.
I've seen those.
Yeah, do they work?
I've seen them at my customers' houses while I'm working.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Enough said. All right.
If they worked, I'd sell them, Ray.
All right, fair enough. Back to the phones we go, and Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
All right. Yes, I was contemplating a fellow down the street from me has already done it with an older home with wooden floors, a home built around 1900 like mine, has converted to radiant floor heating system in this older home. I was contemplating doing that in mine as well.
Okay.
What advice would you have on that? It's going to be a gas-fired furnace hot water system.
It's just personal preference, Jim. It's entirely up to you. So it's if you like it. I personally like radiant. I like using it, you know, in the bathroom floor, on the tile, and the kitchen floors. It's just a personal preference if you want it or not. It's not really. It's kind of something you have to decide on your own. I don't want to sway you either way.
It's feasible, I guess. And
of course. And Jim, if you want to put it in, it's really nice to put. If you redo your driveway, you can put it in there. You can put it under your walkway, and then
the neighbor down the street did
never
that
have to put
ago.
Ice de-ice your
exactly.
Your driveway.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Take the wastewater going back to the furnace, runs through the driveway grid first.
And, see, there you go.
I like it, Jim.
Yep. All righty.
Thanks a lot for the call. As I recall, Bill Cosby got into trouble in New York City. Not for that. No, he had heated sidewalk in front of his place. I think it was New York City.
And he wasn't allowed to?
No, the city said you can't have that.
I'm originally from Michigan, Ray. I don't know these New York stories.
Oh, yes. Well, let's go back to the phones and Molly in Kingston. Molly.
Hi, Happy New Year, and I love your show.
Thanks, you too.
Well, I have a question about when we do our laundry. Every time it happens, all of the toilets in the house bubble up. Oh. They don't overflow. The water doesn't necessarily rise, but gurgle, gurgle, bubble, bubble.
The reason that is happening is you have a partial blockage in your main line, and it's partially blocking your venting. Basically, what you need to do is you need to get your main line and your vent snaked out, remove that blockage. Anytime you have a large volume of water going out your drain like that, your washing machine's pumping a lot of water all at once, it's not going out fast enough. It's going out, the air that it normally would displace is not leaving. It's causing it to gurgle in your toilets.
Huh.
So the way I like to explain that, make it as easy as possible, if you take a straw and you stick it in a glass of water, and you put your finger on top of the straw and you lift the straw out of the glass, there's water still in the straw. As soon as you move your finger, the water goes down. Your pipes do the exact same thing. So if you look on your roof, you'll see a pipe or two sticking out of the roof. That's the venting for your drains. Now, because everything has a trap in it or a U-bend, if you look under your sink, you'll see that. It's built into your toilet. Some people have them at the edge of their house. So when the water goes through there and you're getting a large volume of water, it's creating suction in the pipe. And if it's not getting air from somewhere else, it's going to draw that from the trap in your toilet or your shower. And that's why you hear the gurgle.
Correct. So does a plumber need to do it, or am I able to?
If you want to go out and buy a machine to snake your line, you're more than welcome to do that. And they rent them. But I would suggest hiring a plumber. Yes, ma'am.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Now, you know, we have that, we get that gurgle in our kitchen sink when the dishwasher runs, but that's okay, right?
As long as it doesn't back up, anything's okay. It's a nuisance to you. But
I mean, is it the same issue?
It's the same. It's still a venting issue. So could be there's a lot of different things with the kitchen, though, because kitchens usually have something called an island vent, which is a loop vent inside the wall. So sometimes that becomes a problem. If your kitchen sink ever backs up, some stuff can get pushed up into the vent, cause that a problem. Some of them have what's called Studer vents or air admittance valves, and they just need to be unscrewed and changed. So it could be a lot of things with the kitchen, right?
Okay, so basically what you're saying is I should just tear the whole house down because it's really a mess.
As long as you hire me to do all the plumbing, no problem.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll start with some twigs and we'll build up from there. Let's take a break. It is a Plumbing Today. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ian Cowan, Robert Benjamin are here from Mr. Reuter Plumbing. We'll be back.
Support for WAMT comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. Story's Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring houseplants, seeds, and seedling starter kits, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., closed Sundays, a gardener's destination, StoriesNursery.com. John Lee Auctions, offering estate sales, estate liquidation, and cleanout services throughout the Northeast for over 40 years. JONLeeAuctions.com for more information. Bodhi Spa Yoga and Salon, Hudson, a full yoga studio offering classes in Vinyasa Yoga, Pilates, Hot Yoga, Prenatal Yoga, and Yoga Basics, open daily, BodhiHolisticSpa.com. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953. Now accepting appointments for patients with flexible health spending accounts. SHEEHYOpticians.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. We're endeavoring to make plumbing exciting, and I hope you're enjoying the program because it excites these guys. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin are here. They have the bank accounts to approve to prove just how exciting plumbing can be. John and Cahoes. John, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Show's exciting to me.
Well, good. We see. There you go. Another satisfied customer.
My question is actually, I live in the city, so I have a city hookup. My girlfriend, however, lives in the country, so she has a well set up. Obviously, the pressure differences are very noticeable. My question basically is, what would need to be done to get the same kind of pressure that I get in the city at her house on a well?
Very simple, John. It's called a constant pressure system, and there's several companies that make them.
Okay.
And they're very easily installed by a licensed plumber / licensed well technician. So very simple problem, and then you set the pressure to whatever you want, 60, 65 pounds, and then you get constant pressure. What it is, it's a variable speed pump. So if you open one faucet and you have it set at 60 pounds, you're getting, and by the way, your city water is probably 55 or 60 pounds, and you don't want to go any higher than 65 because you can start to blow seals and toilets and things like that. So, but once you set it and you open one faucet, it's so much water is coming out, you open another faucet, there's more demand, that variable speed pump kicks up and evens it out for you. So very simple. Okay.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
Hey,
have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. Number to call, 800-348-2551. Kurt in Delhi. Kurt, you're up.
Hi. Yeah, very interesting program today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This relates a little bit to the previous question about venting of the waste lines. We're remodeling a small house. And in the process of making some repair on some drain lines that were not pitched properly, they weren't flowing downhill, et cetera, I discovered that there was no venting whatsoever in the system.
Sounds like you have a really good inspector.
I think there was no CFO issued it. That's a whole other story.
Okay.
But in any case, so I've been adding some AAVs where I can. Under vanity and kitchen sink cabinet and whatnot, the lavatory commode's kind of complicated, and I'm wondering what options I might have there. And does that definitely need to be vented if the the shower trap and the vanity trap nearby are already vented.
Absolutely. There are seven different forms of legal venting, and they're really hard to explain to you without drawing you pictures, so I'm not sure how I can help. But
yeah.
The vent needs to go in after the trap and before the stack. So you can wet vent things, so the lav or the bathroom faucet can actually vent, you know, can work as a combination waste and vent. I would kind of shy away from using your AAVs, your air admittance valves, on everything. Something really needs to go through the roof. And if you're now getting a C of O on it and you want to get it inspected, very few inspectors will allow everything to be vented with air admittance valves. So you should have a stack that goes through the roof and things should tie back into it, especially if you're ripping it out and redoing everything. That's my recommendation.
Is it possible ever just to go through an exterior wall without running it through two stories and through the roof?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Bobby's working on one of those tomorrow.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to be drilling a hole through a wall, running 30 feet of pipe strapped up against the side of the house and up through the ceiling. That way they don't have to take out any of the walls. No internal damage except for the little tiny hole I'm going to cut out behind their basement bathroom sink.
Hmm.
Any disadvantage to doing that other than a baseball one?
An eyesore.
Eyesore. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Good. Right. Thanks for your ideas.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Kurt. Over to Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? We have a tankless hot water heater. It's a Tempra, and it's been we've owned the house for 2 years, and we've always had problems like getting hot water. The kitchen, the bathroom sink wouldn't work if the shower wasn't on, and then recently it's been there's three canisters in it that I guess produce the heat that I've been told they go by the volume of water going through them, which turns them on, I guess, the center one has been popping and it's not really producing hot water anymore.
So a couple of issues. So you really need to have somebody who understands the unit look at it. If you're doing it yourself, there should be a customer service tech support number on there that you can call, and they may be able to walk you through. Sometimes they require you to be a licensed plumber to answer your questions. So sometimes they'll deal with the homeowner. So you can handle that either way. But the problem with and we don't call them tankless anymore, they're called on demand, because most of them have small buffer tanks now. So they're called on demand heaters, just a technical thing. And the reason that you're not getting hot water in one faucet when you're not running another one is you may have some corrosion in the pipe. There's something that's slowing down the flow, because there's a sensor in there, and it doesn't tell the heater to kick on until the flow rate is reached. That's why you have to open two things at once, because you're probably not getting – you probably don't have very good pressure to at least that faucet. So if you're not getting enough flow through there, the heater doesn't engage. It doesn't tell itself to kick on. There may be a setting on there that you can – not familiar with that particular brand, but there's several of them, and they all work pretty much the same way, and a lot of them have adjustments that you can make to so it senses a lower flow rate. So you'd have to, you know, again, have somebody who's looking at that unit. As far as tripping the breaker, it sounds like a short, and without being in front of the unit with an electrical tester, I can't tell you why it's doing it.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, fair enough.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate the call. Over to John in Catskill. Hiya, John. You're on.
Hi. I had a question about whenever there seems to be water that's been sitting, for example, in my basement toilet where the water isn't flushed a lot, or even if I were to pour some water from my faucet upstairs, any faucet upstairs, but it appears to develop a film over the top of the water, and sometimes the film will almost have like a rainbow sheen to it, like an oil slick, and it seems to be staining the downstairs bathroom toilet a green color. So I was just curious if this is more chemical or likely mineral in nature, if there's like some type of contaminant going on, or what, because my pet cat doesn't seem to want anything to do with the water. We all bring bottled water at the house. So just curious what your guys' take on it might be.
Copper?
So you said it's a well, correct?
Yeah.
The reason you're getting a rainbow film is it's oil.
Oh,
yeah. What you have is you have an old submersible pump, and it's damaged. And way back in ancient times, they used to actually have oil in the motors. You need a new pump. You will probably need to get so you have to have somebody come pull that out, put a new pump in, and you'll probably have to have some sort of treatment or cleaning done to that.
Yikes.
It's a little messy.
Okay, that would be the only thing that would indicate that type of sheen. If you touch it, it's not slick in nature, and it doesn't seem to be there all the time.
That's the most common problem that Bobby just told you about. So it could be other thing. It could be something in the ground that's seeping in. If I were you and you're drinking the water and your animals are drinking the water, I would pay a few dollars and get a bacteria test on it. You can call a plumber. A plumber can come out and we generally test for things like hardness, pH, iron, sulfur, things like that. But I would personally I would take that to a lab, and you can just, do a search, do an internet search and find something local to you and get a test on it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. We appreciate it. Eric in Stattsburg. Eric, you're on.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
I have a question. I have, it's probably about a decade old, top-loading GE washing machine, and it functions fine, except I've noticed over the last 2 or 3 months that after it's gone through all the cycles and the final spin cycle, there's sometimes about maybe an inch or half an inch of water at the bottom of the, I guess it would be the barrel. And not sure if this is a pump issue or this is just the sort of general atrophy of an older washing machine.
I'm pretty sure you hit the nail on the head. Generally, plumbers don't work on appliances, but we see enough that I can give you a little bit of the knowledge that I've gained over the years just from seeing it. But we don't repair appliances. Usually, they have appliance repairmen for that. But generally, what I've seen is that that's the pump getting older and the pump's not pumping everything out, yeah. Or it's a clogged screen that goes to the pump, so it's not, the pump runs for a certain amount of time and not all the water's getting to it. So if you want to save that decade-old washing machine, you can call somebody in and they can check out your pump for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, very good. And Andre in North Greenbush. Andre, or Andrew, I'm sorry, you're on.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. My mom's home is probably 160 years old. And what we have is a bathroom on the second floor that I've remodeled. But I really have a lack of water pressure getting to the shower head. And it also seems to be the same with the vanity in there. The toilet seems to work fine. Now, the piping is not connected to another area of the house where I have a slop sink in the washroom. And I seem to have plenty of water pressure in there that... If that line was connected to the shower, I'm sure I would have a forceful shower. Could there be a problem with the old piping running from the basement up to the shower on the second floor? Just looking for an answer.
Of course, it could be, and it probably is. When you remodeled, did you notice what kind of pipe it was?
I tied into copper, half-inch copper, through the little opening in the wall there. I don't know exactly what it is dropping, down from the second floor into the basement. And we've lived there 60 years. So, that's kind of gauging.
A lot of times there's old galvanized lines in there, or old brass lines, and they start to corrode and then you start to lose pressure. You could disconnect the supplies from the from your shutoff valves that are under the sink there, and just run them into a bucket and see if you have pressure there. It could be the faucet. I know you said you remodeled, but you could have got some debris in there when you remodeled. That's very common as well. So make sure that you have pressure at the shutoff valve before you throw out the baby with the bathwater.
So in other words, with the I don't mean to take up any extra
time, okay.
But an idea would be to replumb the copper line or whatever they've used previously from the basement up to the bathroom.
usually if they're copper all the way through, that's usually not the case. You don't get a buildup in copper. That's why I asked.
Okay. Well, I can take it from there. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you very much. We're joined today by Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing. And over to line four, and Ann in Kingston. Ann, you're on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a question regarding a rental property I've owned for many years. And for the last few years, about three times a year, the sewer backs up. And it's a town sewer. And it backs up, and I have to have it snaked. And they don't find anything. So I was just wondering what could suddenly cause this, because I've owned it for close to 15 years, and for the first 10 years, this never happened. And sometimes it happens twice a year, and sometimes it occurs three times a year.
Okay. I actually have a quick question for you. Anytime you've had them come and snake out that line, have they ever done a camera inspection on the interior of that line?
I did have them do a camera inspection one time, and they said that there is a bend that's kind of narrow that could be causing it. But I guess my question being, and it would cost several thousand dollars to, excavate the concrete. And so I guess I was having a difficult time with that because it didn't happen for the first 10 years. And for the last 5 years, it's occurred. So I was just wondering if it could be anything else, even though there was a picture.
Honestly, I would have to say to have another camera inspection done. Generally, when you have issues like that, it's not necessarily that there's a sharp bend. A lot of times what will happen is over the years you get a belly in the pipe. So instead of everything being pitched at a downward angle, you'll have a level spot or a spot where there's a dip in the pipe. It'll be constantly full of water. And then it's just like a water slide. You go down the water slide, hit the pool at the bottom, and you stop.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what all the solids in your drain line are doing. And they build up in there. And when it gets snaked out, you don't necessarily pull it back. You're just breaking it up and pushing it through, and then it's flowing. Honestly, you pretty much need to get another camera inspection and try and get a
second
better
opinion. I would call a second opinion a different company. There's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. And now, I mean, so I don't necessarily have to spend several thousand dollars to fix it, is what you're saying, possibly.
Well, at least find out before you spend the money.
There you go. I can't tell you without seeing it myself. I wouldn't be able to tell you, but I would get a second opinion
to
be safe.
And so if that is it, is there another way to, I guess, repair it?
Yes. Yes, there is. There are several companies. We do something called trenchless repair. So we have, we can do pipe lining, where we'll line a pipe from inside your house out to the street if you're a candidate for that, and then we don't have to do any digging. And there are other companies that do that as well.
What do you line it with?
It's a vinyl liner with an epoxy resin. So we measure, we put in a camera, we look at the line, we pull the camera out, we take a measurement, we cut a vinyl liner, we impregnate that with an epoxy resin, and then that goes into a machine called an inverter, and it makes the outside the inside. So all the epoxy pushes out, the vinyl liner's on the inside with a balloon in it, that we keep that balloon blown up until it hardens, then we pull the balloon out, and you have one new line. So
how far can you do that? How many feet can you do that?
The machine that we have does a 100-foot
line. Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
And it's in about 70 feet where this is happening.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're a candidate for a liner, and if there's a break in the pipe or something, we would have to camera it first. So the only problem that you would have is if you have that belly that Bobby was talking about, the belly's too much. We can line through the belly, but you'll still have the belly, but there won't be any seams in there to stop anything. So some people with belly, if it's a small belly, we can still line that. If it's too bad, then you may need to have it dug up. So there are other options. But again, anybody who tells you it's just a turn in the pipe, that turn's been there for 15 years, it's not enough explanation for me to dig. Sorry.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Thank
you. Now, I guess cameras are fairly standard gear for plumbers nowadays?
Yeah, they didn't used to be because they were so expensive,
yeah.
And they're not cheap now. But we find that it makes the job a little easier. Explaining to customers is 1,000 times easier than it was 10, 15 years ago.
How do you get lighting in there?
It's got a light on the end of the camera.
I personally do not cable a line without putting a camera in there.
Really?
I put a camera in there every single time. My job when I clear a drain line is to not come back. I can't guarantee without visually seeing that I confirmed there's nothing in the line, there's no damage to the pipe. I need people to understand this is a complicated system, and if one thing goes wrong or there's an underlying issue, people are just going to keep coming back and the problem's never getting fixed. The camera tells me that I did my job, and if there is a problem, it tells me what the problem is, and we can move forward with actually making a real repair.
That's pretty cool. Technology is pretty great. Well, hey, guys, thanks for being here today. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing. What's the website again?
HudsonValley.MrReuter.com.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. We'll get you back in here again in 2016. Support comes from Audubon Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of Asian-made and imports, specializing in late-model Volkswagen, Subaru, Audi, and BMW, AudubonTechnic.com. The Lathrop community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. At Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to everybody who called. I apologize to all the callers, Diane and Dylan and Tracy and Daniel and everybody else who are on hold. The show's over. I apologize. Try us next time. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Bruce Herbach, who answered the calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, another exciting edition of Vox Pop. Don't know what it is. I'll tell you later. The news is next.